Imagine being at the pinnacle of Hollywood success, attending Oscar parties with A-list celebrities, designing for fashion magazines like Vogue, and fully embracing your gay identity, only to walk away from it all after a single encounter with God. This is precisely what happened to Beckett Cook on September 20, 2009, when he wandered into an evangelical church in Los Angeles and experienced what he describes as an overwhelming divine presence that changed everything. In that moment, as someone prayed for him, Cook felt an unmistakable flood of warmth and power that left him sobbing uncontrollably. Suddenly, everything became crystal clear. God was real, Jesus was real, and the Bible was absolute truth. What makes this story so compelling isn't just the dramatic nature of the conversion, but how it challenges our assumptions about identity, happiness, and what we're willing to sacrifice for what we believe to be true. How does someone walk away from everything they've built their life around when confronted with what they perceive as ultimate truth? Cook's journey toward identifying as gay began in childhood, despite growing up in an apparently idyllic setting, the youngest of eight in a devout Catholic family in affluent Dallas. Behind this perfect facade lay significant pain. His emotionally distant father, early exposure to pornography, and sexual abuse at age 10 shaped his developing sexuality. By middle school, Cook recognized his same-sex attraction, but dismissed it as temporary. He lived a double life, dating girls for social validation while secretly being attracted to boys. This compartmentalization became second nature, a skill that later helped him navigate Hollywood's complex social landscape. Through his all-boys Jesuit high school, he formed close friendships with others experiencing similar attractions. Though gay bars provided him a liberating sense of belonging, he still considered his attraction temporary, assuming he'd eventually follow a conventional path and marry a woman. After college and teaching English in Tokyo for a year, Cook moved to Los Angeles instead of pursuing law school as planned. Los Angeles represented a sanctuary where diversity and authentic self-expression flourished. At the Larry Moss Studio, he faced the demanding world of acting that required brutal honesty and emotional vulnerability, transforming his pain into art. His West Hollywood apartment, once home to James Dean and Marilyn Monroe, became a gathering place for fellow gay transplants from conservative states who formed a chosen family bonded by similar journeys. Cook's career provided access to A-list premieres, award shows, and exclusive industry events. He experienced surreal moments like attending the Vanity Fair Oscar party, visiting Drew Barrymore's home, and enjoying private Prince concerts. His production design work connected him with celebrities and took him globally, including to the Great Wall of China. Yet beneath this external success, an internal emptiness was growing. Despite worldly success, Cook questioned his existence. His romantic relationships followed a predictable pattern. 6 months of bliss, 6 months of diminishing returns, and a year of deterioration. Yet he approached each new relationship optimistically, believing each partner would save him. When therapy failed to provide answers about life's purpose, he turned to art and theater. Museums became his temples. He wept at John Curran's paintings and nearly fainted at Yves Klein's exhibition, offering moments of near spirituality that never truly satisfied. The emptiness peaked at Stella McCartney's Paris Fashion Week party in 2009. Surrounded by celebrities, Cook experienced profound emptiness and panic. He fled, thinking, "If this isn't fulfilling me anymore, what will?" He spent the night sleepless, contemplating a future where, despite achieving everything he thought would bring happiness, he remained unsatisfied. When Cook became a Christian, he faced telling his liberal, progressive, atheist friends in the fashion industry. Surprisingly, most remained friends despite their initial shock. Some, like his friend Lisa from Dallas, even embraced Christianity after hearing his testimony. Cook became passionate about sharing his faith on photo shoots, and several colleagues came to Christ, including a makeup artist who questioned how he could leave his gay identity. In 2013, despite launching a successful clothing line, Cook felt called to seminary. The timing seemed illogical from a business perspective, but he dissolved his company and applied to Talbot School of Theology. From 2014 to 2017, anonymous donors and church members covered his entire education, often providing funds exactly when tuition was due. The theological training equipped him with biblical knowledge and apologetic skills to speak at churches and universities about identity in Christ. His unique background created opportunities to bridge the gap between Christian and LGBTQ communities, allowing him to speak truth with both compassion and conviction. Since his conversion, Cook has addressed many challenging questions. When asked if remaining single is unfair, he points to his relationship with God, which transcends human relationships, noting that Jesus was single and Paul endured hardships in singleness. On whether he was born gay, Cook acknowledges there's no simple answer. Though he once told his father, "I was born this way," he now recognizes no definitive cause for homosexuality has been scientifically established. For him, whether a gay gene exists is irrelevant to his conviction that homosexual behavior conflicts with Scripture. He distinguishes that homosexual desire isn't chosen, but acting on it is. Cook explains that becoming a Christian doesn't magically change orientation. While his desire for men has diminished since encountering Jesus, he may not be fully healed in this lifetime, and that's acceptable to him. He refuses to identify as a gay Christian because his identity is now in Christ, not his sexuality. This challenges our culture's assumption that sexual identity must be central to who we are. What if our deepest identity comes from something or someone beyond ourselves? Cook compares choosing between homosexual identity and following Christ to Jesus' encounter with the rich young man in the Gospels. For many in the LGBTQ+ community, sexual identity forms their fundamental self-understanding, making surrender extraordinarily difficult. He contrasts two gay men's journeys: Nathan, who chose Christ despite depression and anxiety in his faith struggle, and Lucas, who withdrew when faced with choosing Christ over his boyfriend. These stories illustrate the profound personal cost involved. Cook's sister-in-law, Kim, modeled a Christ-like response, never condemning him, yet maintaining her evangelical beliefs. She loved him unconditionally and prayed for him for 20 years, building deep trust between them. In today's changing culture, Cook calls Christians to stand firm in biblical conviction while showing genuine love, like Daniel's friends who refused to bow to cultural pressure despite facing the fiery furnace. The question becomes, what are we willing to sacrifice for what we believe is true? And can we hold our convictions with both courage and compassion in a world increasingly viewing traditional faith as intolerant?